are back with the bombastic Bill Marx, son of Harpo Marx. And God, what a pleasure this has been. I do remember finally that you came to La Jolla, you and Barbara, and you played piano at La Valencia for the guests there and spoke at Rotary. And that was a really fond memory for me and everybody involved. So thank you for doing that. And I hope we get some of these films out here and have you join us, you know, at another time and occasion. We can set up a screening somewhere. But tell us about this great film collection that's out there in the and how people can get that.
Okay, there's a new box set of Marx Brothers stuff on TV. It's called Marx Brothers on TV. How's that for the title of a box set that that features Marx Brothers on TV?
Yeah. How about
okay.
that?
And it's it was put out by Shout Factory, which is you know, similar to Rhino. They deal in wonderful retro stuff. And I was the executive producer on this, along with a guy by the name of Rob Bader, who is one of the great, great researchers of our time. And he's got a book coming out on the Marx Brothers vaudeville days. That none of it has ever been written about. And he traces their entire vaudeville era precisely through endless newspaper clippings and stuff going way back. This guy knows what trains they took.
Oh my gosh!
What cities they played? What hotels they stayed in? It's a phenomenal book, and it's coming out in I think the fall. And more importantly, I had the pleasure of putting together a 3-disc, 9.5-hour box set of the Marx Brothers on TV. And it's stuff that people have rarely, if ever, seen before.
Yeah.
And it's the brothers, and as they were growing older, and the stuff is still great. We do not include You Bet Your Life, because that was, you know, that's still in syndication, and it's wonderful. But
really?
But these are things that are rare, that people have hardly ever seen, or once again, they're dead. Because everything that we have in here is in the 50s and very early 60s.
Well, there's a whole
of the previous century. And we've got home movies and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's
and it's really a prideful package.
Yeah.
We've had nothing but super good reviews, and I'm saying that unabashedly, because a lot of work went into it, and people can appreciate watching the brothers start out in Coconuts and all of the movies, and then you get to see them, their lives progress as they get into their 60s and 70s, and they've still got that fire, and they've still got that
desire. A lot of this was their TV appearances from, like, you know, the Dick Cavett Show, the Jackie Gleason Show, Jack Benny, DuPont Theater, all that stuff. I mean, it's phenomenal. So
sure, they got they got, believe it or not, an interview with Groucho and Bill Cosby.
Really?
And it's wonderful. And in one particular moment, Cosby asked Groucho, "You know, getting up in age, do you believe in life after death?" And Groucho said, "I'm beginning to wonder if there's life before death."
So, Bill, are you still getting a
bunch of great stuff?
And
there's something in there for everyone. I mean, stuff that people have just never seen. We dug up from all over the place, and it's kind of a historical document.
Well, all these celebrities have passed on. There's big markets for them. I mean, you're probably still getting some royalty checks on these things, right?
We got $14 last week.
I doubt that. I'm sure it's more, but But who's, I mean, do you have like there's an entity or some legal force out there?
No. We all had clearances from whatever we needed.
But who's
clearances.
Like,
we don't make any, you know, you don't make a lot of money anymore. The record industry has changed. Mm-hmm. And now with YouTube, mm-hmm. I mean, accessible stuff. But this is, if you really want to have, and there's wonderful brochures mm-hmm. in this package, too, that tells you what it is you're looking at and why they did it uh-huh. and all of that, which you can't do on the Internet. You have to have the package. And it's nice because it's really a terrific gift to give yourself or to somebody else, and I'm not championing it for any other reason that I'm just very proud of it.
Yeah. And Joe, that's $14 more than we made from this radio show in 2015. Exactly. I was doing the accounting here.
is that what I owe you guys?
No. Hey, now, they're big hits in Britain. You were telling us about some group in Britain that's formed some organization.
Oh, well,
right?
There's a thoroughly astonishing group of people. They're madmen. Mm-hmm. It's called the Marx Brothers Council of Great Britain. It's a Facebook thing.
Yeah.
When you get onto that thing, you can't believe the minutia that they pick. And they've got a series of photographs where it would have to take you about a week to go through all the photographs, stuff I never even had, knew was going on. It's an amazing thing. And this Matthew Conium, who wrote the annotated Marx Brothers book, it just came out this year, uh-huh. he's in charge of that whole thing, and he lives in Bath, England,
uh-huh.
and they're having a big Marx Brothers thing in Bath next year, in April. So they're going to have people come from all over the world to see, and I might add that right now at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, they're doing the Coconuts, a revival, a stage revival of Coconuts, and in New York next April, I believe, they're doing I'll Say She Is, which was their biggest Broadway hit.
Oh my gosh.
It came before Coconuts and Animal Crackers, and the reason why we never saw a movie is because talkies hadn't been evolved at that time.
Isn't
but
that
was their biggest stage hit. That's what put them over the top on Broadway.
Wow.
Is it true when your dad worked in the Soviet Union or Russia for a couple of months that he actually snuck some messages in and out for the U.S. Embassy?
Oh, you really picked up on something
that was in the book,
few people know about, and that's mm-hmm. wonderful. Thank you for asking about that. He was turned out to be kind of a, if you want to call it, a diplomatic courier.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get away from my mother, who was not my mother at that time, Susan, who was chasing him all over the place trying to get him to get married. And he said, I got to get the hell out of here. And he arranged a meeting with Alexander Wolcott, his closest friend. Mm-hmm. Wolcott pulled some strings and said, you're between horse feathers and duck soup. Why don't you do a tour of how about Russia? And he said anything. Get me out of here. So they arranged for an entire tour of about 6-8 weeks, I guess. Played St. Petersburg and Moscow and all of that.
Now, what year was this? Was it during the war?
Yeah, 1933.
Wow.
And just before he came home, he was called into Ambassador Bullitt's office. He was the ambassador to Russia at that time. And the ambassador says, I hope you don't mind, but I want you to take these papers home with you. I want you to strap them to your leg and never take them off the entire 7 days that you're on your journey back, because in those days they would take boats and things. You remember what a boat looked like?
Yeah.
Anyway, and so for the next 4 or 5 days, no, 7 days, I think, Dad was a courier of secret papers. And it's in his book, mm-hmm. Harpo Speaks. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful chapter. And it's a wonderful chapter about how Russia was in 1933. And I have had friends that have gone over there, and they've read that chapter, and they said, nothing has changed. It's exactly the same as it was then. It's pretty dank over there, you know? And so... So he brought the papers on. He was greeted at the dock by FBI people. They whisked him off, and they took the leather thing that was encased in. They took that away. Dad never knew what was in those papers.
Wow. Just a courier. Wow. How about that?
But he was.
Interesting story.
Yeah, and Dad felt really uncomfortable the whole time. You know, he was sure he was being
watched.
He was being watched, or that somebody knew that he had something. They were going to conk him over the head and take the papers and all of that.
Plus, but if you can't scratch your leg for 7 days, that's uncomfortable.
You can get pretty paranoid. Yeah, it's not easy to shower with that.
Exactly.
And not get the papers wet. So it was really a bizarre time. But then he went, and if you notice, he toured and he played, he concertized, and he also did some bits too. But if you notice Duck Soup, when he came back, and it was very tough for him to do, because when he was going over to Russia and he went through Germany and Middle Europe. He noticed the rise of Nazism and anti-Semitism, and it was very difficult for him to make a movie that was parodying war, which was what Duck Soup was. And at the same time, it's the only movie that he did not play the harp in. I don't even think Chico played the piano in that. But it was a very, very strange time, and it was very uncomfortable for him.
Yeah.
But they went ahead and made a movie that though it was Duck Soup, it did not get good reviews, and it ended their Paramount days. It is now considered to be their funniest movie.
Wow.
He played Pinky in that, right? Pinky?
I think so.
It was Pinky. I think it was Pinky.
I think so.
I think it was.
I don't know. They had a dad who was stuffy and they hit the races.
Yeah.
And they changed names all around constantly. And incidentally, in this DVD collection that we've got Groucho on television singing the song that was taken out of Day at the Races, and it's called Dr. Hackenbush, a very famous medico.
Hugo Z. Hackenbush.
No, I'm Dr. Hackenbush, and that's in the entire scene. He did, I think it was on a Dinah Shore show. I'm not positive, but he does it. It's wonderful, and that was cut from Day at the Races.
Yeah. Now, the Palm Springs Walk of Stars, I know your mom and dad are on there, along with, everyone from Chevy Chase to Barbara and Frank Sinatra to, and you have a star somewhere in Palm Springs, don't you?
Well, it was a gentleman who is still with us, was a kindly gentleman who arranged to have my mother's star and my father's star and my star all in the same location.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, so the next time you come down here...
we'll take some pictures.
I'm somewhere in the 300 block.
Well, I'm looking at the lineup here. So many huge celebrities. And the only other parent-child I see are Nancy and Frank Sinatra. And, you and your dad and mom. So, that's really quite an honor. Elvis is on there. William Powell. You just name many.
Lon Chaney and Lon Chaney Jr., I think.
Well, maybe, okay. Maybe
I'm not positive about that.
I'm going to look.
I think so.
Okay. But anyway, that's a very cool thing to see. But let's give it's harposplace.com. And is there any other website you'd like to give out before we wrap?
No, I think that, you know, there, it's pretty easy to find. If you just type in Marx Brothers, they probably give you a lot of websites. There have been a number of them over the years, but the one that I had was strictly a tribute site to give people an extra dimension of what people are. If you ask somebody, what do you know about Humphrey Bogart? They'll say, well, you know, he was a great actor, and he shouted this, and he played a tough guy, and that was about it. They don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
But he was just a regular guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and what we envision as from a distance on what people do is not necessarily who they are.
Yeah.
There, and all my dad was dad.
Mm.
And instead of putting a suit and a tie on to go to work, he put funny clothes on and went to work.
And a wig.
But, yeah. But, I mean, we're all the same.
Yeah.
A father is a father. A dad is a dad.
Yeah.
A mother is a mother. You know, it's just that we can romanticize ad nauseum.
Well, and it's so cool that, you know, you had musical DNA in running through you before you ever met Harpo and Susan. And, of course, it was just, you know, fate did intervene. And, you know, what a wonderful life you've all had. I mean, it was just terrific. So, Richard, we're going to wrap it up soon. You have any other closing thoughts?
No, that was great stuff. Love these bonus tracks. Bill, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I would like to say to you guys, thank you for having me on, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm going to reiterate that you were just talking to probably the luckiest guy that you've ever talked to.
You and Lou Gehrig.
For what I wound up in their orbit and had the opportunity to participate in what I think is the most important thing you can have in your entire life, and that's a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
And I was around that all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, to all of the folks out there that are listening, Happy New Year, and may your new year always be better than the one before.
Wonderful,
absolutely.
Bill. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon, and we will check out those stars in Palm Springs. Okay, my friend, thank you so much.
Lots of love.
Okay, thank you. Ditto.